Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth again on WJCB Radio. Now, last week we ended talking about this new but nebulous idea that the church, and that's in quotations today, is a society or an institution. Thank you very much, Rick Warren, for this idea. Well, guess what? They tried that in the book of Acts, and it miserably failed. Luke writes in Acts 2, 45 and 46, "And all that believed the first 3,000 of Pentecost were together, and all had things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need." Well, today we would call that a commune, where people, they get together, and spiritually speaking, they study the Bible, they listen to sermons, they sing in a choir, they have fellowship with food, they do friends and family activities, as they all endure common challenges. Now, all of this may seem to be innocent enough, and it may be honest and moral, and maybe even good, but yet, what is the spiritual environment here? Is it what John says it must be to be a living, dynamic part of the body of Christ in the mind of God? Paul says, "Christ our life," Colossians 3 and 4. That is essentially what John is teaching here also. Is Christ the life of the church? And that church is in quotations. Not merely in word, but in actual experience. You know, the early church in Jerusalem who sold all they had and gave to the church for every man did not really do that well. No, they didn't. They were always out of money. And why? Well, nobody worked. All throughout the New Testament, we can see where Peter has asked Paul to bring money from his trips to the church in Jerusalem. Peter writes in Romans 15, or Paul writes in Romans 15, 26, "For it had pleased them of Macedonia and Arcadia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." I guess it is true, if you don't work, you should not eat. Now, when all of the religion and the posturing is skimmed off, what is the spiritual environment that governs the church? That's in quotations. What is the lifeblood? What is the heart and pulse of the church, in quotations? Is it Christ in us individually and collectively, the hope of glory? Is it Christ our life? Is it yet not I, but Christ? Is it Christ crucified and raised, but also us crucified and raised with him? Well, it is supposed to be all of that and so much more. But how about your church, my friend? Are these the hallmark of what your church believes? And if not, what is it? Wow, what is it? What does your church believe? Maybe a better question is, do you know what your church believes? Or do you care what your church believes? Do you just go to the church because your family's been going there for decades? Is your church a dead religion, you know, ritualistic church? Maybe a blank space. Wow. A blank space is a very dangerous thing in God. What I mean by a blank space is all of those areas in our Christian experiences that are to be filled with Christ, they are not. If so, there is an omission and a blindness, which is evidence of Antichrist. Another Christ has been taught, and you have been deceived by that error. Now, I know there are many sincere churches that do not know the truth and do not know that they need to know the truth. You know, it is bad not to know the truth, but it is far worse not to know that you do not know. Now, they may not be deceived by some horrible error or some kind of heresy right now, but open up your spirit here, the fact that there is a huge blank space regarding experiencing of Christ as our life is dangerous, and that makes them ripe to be picked off by deception. Wow. I'm amazed to hear the number of people, Christian people, say, how could they be so deceived? Well, the answer is they were deceived because they did not know the truth. But knowing the truth comes by way of choosing to keep your nose in the Word of God. Time spent in prayer, for, you know, yourself and others, and just having a love for the truth. Now, God will, repeat, not lead anyone into deception. Oh, no. God will always work with anyone who really loves Him and has a love for the truth. Let me say that again. God will not, repeat, not lead anybody into deception. God will always work with anyone who really loves Him and has a love for the truth. Tens of millions of people everywhere are ripe to be picked off by deception because, now open up your spirit here again, because they do not have a living experience with the living resurrected Christ that can hold them and keep them out of deception. Wow. They are not under the work of the cross. They are not in the progress of losing their life to Him in order that, you know, that He may become their life. Again, not a criticism, not a condemnation, not a putting down, not a taking a superior position here, but simply repeating what John is saying in 1 John 4 and 3, because it is virtually important. It is important, important, important. It is a warning right from the Bible. And John says, every spirit that confesses not Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. Every spirit that confesses not Jesus having come in the flesh is not of God. And John states this is Antichrist. Well, what is the spirit of Antichrist? Every spirit of Satan or man that confesses not Christ in us. Every spirit of Satan or man that confesses not Christ in us and us in Christ. My friend, you cannot get any clearer than that. The Spirit of God focuses upon Christ in us, the hope of glory. Let me say that again. The Spirit of God focuses upon Christ in us, the hope of glory, on a personal level. Wow. Remember, when God comes to minister to us, what does He come to minister to? To our flesh, our soul, our spirit that is joined to Christ? Oh, no. God comes to us when he ministers to the life that God is in us. Wow, let me say that again. God comes to us, and when he does, he ministers to the life of God that is in us. John states this is the spirit of Antichrist, not the Antichrist that's in the book of Revelation, but the spirit and the Antichrist, or the spirit of another Christ. So what is the spirit of Antichrist? Every spirit of Satan or man that confesses not Christ in us, hope of glory. Or every spirit of Satan and man that confesses not Christ has come in the flesh. You do not get any clearer than that, my friend. The Spirit of God focuses upon Christ in us. Let me say that again. The Spirit of God focuses upon Christ in us, the hope of glory. And the Spirit of Antichrist blinds people to the message and will confess anything but that message. It is strange John does not even mention one thing that the Antichrist will confess, although we know there is ultimately going to be great error in that. Again, what does the Antichrist not confess? Answer, Jesus having come in the flesh. Wow. Where is that absent? The spirit of Antichrist is at work. Wow. Where that is absent, the spirit of Antichrist is at work, blinding people to the truth of who Jesus Christ is. This is the spirit of Antichrist that is alive and well in most denominations and most churches. Let me say that again. The spirit of Antichrist is alive and well and functioning and operating in most denominations and churches. Wow. Never judge a church by the ability of collecting people, having programs for kids, doing all of these, you know, all of these church activities. Never judge a church by that. Always judge a church by the message that's being presented there. And if the message is not Christ has come in the flesh and Jesus is Lord and death to yourself from the death on the cross, then you need to not go to that church, because that church is Antichrist. It's preaching another gospel. It's preaching another message. Let me say that again. If that church is not preaching the truth of the Word of God, death to self, the work of the cross in our life, Jesus is Lord and Jesus has come in the flesh, these types of messages, then that church that you're going to, have it be a denominational church or whatever, guess what, is Antichrist. Amen. More next week. God bless.